This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to Sports Talk here on the Big 870. Mike Dettay along with Charlie Long. Steve Geller will join us late in the 5 o'clock hour. I want to tell everybody a little after 4:20, Saints wide receiver Brandon Cooks will join us here on the Big 870 WWL, talking about his return to New Orleans. And I actually kept the notes of when he got selected and what Sean Payton spoke about that night about Brandon Cooks. And so I'm going to tell Brandon about it. I'll read it off to him about him as a football player. At 5:20, Mikey Matuk will join us, former LSU outfielder and also played in the majors, will be on with us to talk about the Tigers and tough series against the Longhorns. And they back at it tonight starting at 6:30 right here on the Big 870 WWL as they play the University of Louisiana, the Raging Cajuns. I know Charlie's excited about his Raging Cajuns. Not excited about the record, but he's excited that they get a shot to play the Tigers tonight at 6:30, and you can hear that game live right here on the Big 870 WWL. And at 5:40, Gary Smith does a great job covering the Tulane beat. Will be on with us today. It was a pro day at Tulane University, and will give us some of the insights of what happened there. And then tomorrow, Jeff Nowak will cover that for us at LSU. So got a full lineup here tonight. Charlie, yesterday as I left, I gave the halftime score of the LSU Lady Tigers. It was 50-49 against Florida State. As I'm driving home, I get an update, and they outscored them 31-6 in third quarter. And I'm like, man, you talk about dominating performances. That was one. They ended up winning last night, 81-55, advancing to the Sweet 16. They'll play North Carolina State Friday night at 6:30 p.m. Anissa Morrow, again, another great game, 26 points, 11 rebounds, 7 assists. And then Samaya Smith, who Coach Mulkey had spoke to me about last Thursday, has really – turned it up also, 20 points, 12 rebounds, 6 assists. And so, Charlie, you talk about back-to-back beatdowns, and they've gotten it now, beating San Diego State and then last night 81-55. But it was that right after halftime that they really tore into Florida State.
They blitzed them. I mean, Mike, it was a good Florida State offense too, and they did absolutely nothing in that third frame. So credit to LSU's defense, because, I mean, that was the story. The first half was back and forth, a dogfight. And then you get to the second half, LSU just runs away with it. And at some point, I guess that's kind of the championship medal that, Kim Mulkey brings to the program. So now, as you mentioned, they face NC State. They're actually favored this weekend over the two-seed NC State by 2.5 points. And then the winner of that matchup will move on to face the winner of UCLA and Ole Miss in the 1-5 matchup in the Elite Eight with a spot in the Final Four on the line. This is just what Coach Mulkey does. Like, it's almost a guarantee that when she's coaching a team, you can at least book their ticket to the Sweet 16, if not further.
I told her what Will Wade had spoke to us about when he joined us earlier last week, was that, you know, when we went to the tournament last year, it was like a basketball field trip. You know, we had no expectations, but, you know, this time it was, hey, we gotta come out with a win here, a couple wins. We're not just there just to show up. And her response was, okay, we've got LSU women's basketball at a level. We're not just showing up. We playing for bigger kind of fish to fry than getting to the Sweet 16.
The NCAA tournament or committee just keeps giving them the 3 seed every single year with Coach Mulkey, and every single year they make these deep runs. So, yeah, just keep doing it. You know, you know what you can expect with the Coach Mulkey coach squad. And this LSU Tigers team, as you mentioned, with their dominant victory over Florida State, looks like they're rolling in during the Sweet 16.
And then last night, Charlie, man, I listened to part of the pregame Todd Graffanini was on with Gus Cattingill, and they were talking about all the different lineups that were in store for the Pelicans. And the 76ers have had more different starting lineups than the Pelicans have, which is unbelievable. And last night, coming out with that 112-99 win, and they didn't get blitzed in the third quarter. They actually outscored them 32-26 in the third quarter. But a guy that we thought was just sort of a throw-in, you know, in the trade to Toronto, Kelly Olynyk, you know, 14.7 rebounds. Kelly has really, really exceeded all expectations of what I think both you and I thought would happen when they acquired him in the trade.
Yeah, so Justin from Boot Crew Media has a great tweet about Kelly Olynyk in his 15 games with the Pelicans, 10.9 points per game, 6.5 rebounds per game, 4 assists per game on 53.5 field goal shooting percentage. Mike, I agree with you. When they made the trade with Brandon Ingram, we're like, okay, Kelly Olynyk, you know, whatever. But he's been a really strong piece, and he's under contract next year. So if you're looking at the Pelicans for 2025-26 season, Kelly Olynyk's going to be here, and he's going to be a valuable piece off the bench. And maybe in some rotations, he could be a stretch 4 for this team, or potentially 5. Like, he provides this kind of good positional versatility at the 4 and the 5, and he's a floor spacer. We always talk about his great IQ, but he's performed very, very well with the Pels so far. That's definitely the least of my worries with the late season surge for this Pelicans team.
And even Mise last night also, 16 points. But
him and Carlo.
Think about, you know, the start of the season, the Pelicans were disappointing. But the team that's really been the most disappointing, hasn't it been the 76ers?
It's either them or Phoenix.
Phoenix
has been healthy and bad. Philadelphia has been just, I mean, they're the Eastern Conference version of the Pelicans, where they've dealt with so many injuries. I sent you this article, Mike, from Tim Bontemps on ESPN, where they talked about the tanking in the NBA and how it's gotten awful out of hand. Mike, there were 10 players missing for the 76ers last night. I mean, it was like a G League team out there. There was a reason that the Pelicans were sitting Zion, they were sitting, you know, CJ, and they were still basically 4.5 point favorites. And they beat down the 76ers. Like, they won that game pretty comfortably. So the reason being, the 76ers are quite literally playing a G League team. And the reason for that is that their pick for this upcoming season is protected. So if they fall out of the top 6, I believe, the pick conveys and goes to OKC. They're trying their best.
That's all the OKC needs.
Well, yeah, of course. But I'm just saying, there's teams, and this Bontemps article is great on ESPN. I recommend anyone that's interested in the NBA to go check it out. The Jazz are the worst defenders of this. They're openly tanking to try and get the number one overall pick. And it's kind of embarrassing, in all honesty. But the 76ers are right there up with them. Like, they're trying to make sure that they can keep their first round pick and not have it convey to OKC. So it's been, you know, yes, the races at the end of the season as far as the playoff race, the play-in race, all that good stuff. But it's also the inverse, where you're looking at all these teams kind of racing to the bottom, and it's a bad look.
We'll be back with more sports talk here on the Big 870. We'll have on with this new Saints receiver, Willie, coming back for a second run here. Brandon Cooks will join us here on the Big 870 WWL.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Mike Dettelia, along with Charlie Long, running things behind the scenes. And on our Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text line, one of the newest members of the New Orleans Saints, back to New Orleans for a second go-round, Brandon Cooks, wide receiver for the Saints. Brandon, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon.
Yes, thank you for having me. I'm glad to be on.
Brandon, what was the deciding factor on you coming back to New Orleans? I know you had other teams interested in signing you, but what was the main factor in coming back here in the black and gold? Because, you know, a lot of people, they don't get the business part of this, how you left the first time. Come on, it's nothing personal. It's business. Now, some people leave ugly when they go somewhere, but that wasn't the case with you, and it was a business decision.
Yeah, you know, it's all a part of it. I think, you know, the side effect of coming back is really just a full circle moment, right? The journey has been awesome. I've been blessed to be able to leave and go have a lot of success, and the team has been a lot of success since I've been gone as well. So I think from that aspect, just coming back, being home, legacy play from the standpoint of starting – being back to where I all started, and I really believe in what Kellen is all about and the staff that he's built and, the strength and performance staff, everything. I think they have something good going and a lot of great players, so absolutely.
Well, you got to go up against the Eagles a few times and Kellen Moore running that offense last year, but your impressions of the new head coach here?
I'm very impressed from the standpoint of just this is approach to the game and how he uses everyone and gets everyone involved. I mean, obviously they had a lot of playmakers there in Philly, and I think we have the same here in New Orleans. So it's going to be great just getting to work and letting everything kind of take care of itself. But I think, he's been a lot, part of a lot of great offenses, and he's continued to show that year in and year out. And I think he's ready for that role of being a head coach.
Brandon, I kept the notes from when the Saints picked you the first time. Sean Payton came out that night, and I actually found it finally this morning. I knew I had it, but it took me a little while to find it. And this was his comments about you. Said, one, right off the bat, what impressed him about you? Productive at the college level, and he stayed healthy. He's not the biggest receiver, but he stayed healthy, and he was productive. He was impressive in gaining separation. Didn't matter if it was man coverage, bracket, zone coverage. He got separation. His run after catch skills are at a high level. And then he kind of paused a little bit and he said, speed. They got a lot of fast guys in this world, but you put a helmet and shoulder pads on them, and it's not quite the same speed. And he was like, Brandon Cooks is fast with a helmet and pads on. Man, I think back of when the Saints select you. Man, he was kind of dead on all of those things. And I look back, 9 out of 11 seasons. Now, you're going to have injuries. You play in this league as long as you have. You're going to have some. But you played 12 or more games in 9 of the 11 seasons. You had 6 seasons with 65 or more catches, 6 seasons of over 1,025 yards and 60 touchdowns. Productivity. So when Coach Payton parted that process of selecting you, he was dead on right about his evaluation.
Yeah, shout out to Coach Payton. And, you know, I got a lot of love for him. I really do. And, you know, we still stay in touch. And he's one of the best, coaches for a reason. But I'm still growing. You know what I mean? I think you're absolutely right. He was right on all those, but I'm still continuing to get better. The speed is still there. I'm still getting better. So,
which kind of give everybody who hasn't heard the story your connection to wide receiver coach Keith Williams, who you've known for a long time now. He was trying to recruit you when you came out of high school.
We always laugh because he's been recruiting me since I was 17 years old. You know, he was at Fresno State. Keith, I ain't going to Fresno. You know, fast forward, he was at a couple other spots, and, you know, it never really worked from the aspect, but it's, God's all time is always perfect. So here we are, you know, both from Stockton, California, have an opportunity to work together. And, I really look forward to that because we have a great room, and I think iron sharpens iron, so.
Brandon, last week we were talking with Brad Sham, the voice of the Cowboys, and he specified the leadership that you brought that young Cowboys room. Kind of talk a little bit about that at this point in your career, being a veteran leader for, you know, a young Saints receiver room that I know you've talked about how talented it is with Rashid Shaheed and Chris Olave, but talk about the veteran leadership that you bring.
Yeah, man, I truly take pride in that. I really do, because I know at the end of the day, it's not all about me. Where I'm trying to get and what we're trying to get as a team, we all need each other. And I've always prided myself in that over the years. And I really look forward to it because it seemed like CEO and Sheed and all the guys already got a great head on their shoulders, right? And so I'm just hopefully I can add some tools here and there on and off the field. We collaborate together and do some great things. So I think it's going to be fun. I can't wait to get to work. I know Sheed is recovering. But, boy, you talking about speed. I look forward to seeing that in person.
Brandon, one of the things, we had talked to Drew Brees about this, and he was like, you know, I hadn't played with too many people that had that type of speed like what Brandon Cooks has. And he said, you know what, the most humiliating thing for me, I didn't want to underthrow him. So he said, man, I would try to air it out that he could just run under it, because he said, you know, you don't play on the same team with guys that can really run at that level. Brandon Cooks could run. But you and Drew really kind of hit it off well here, despite the fact, you know, most people didn't look at Drew as one of these great deep ball passers.
Yeah, yeah.
But when he had to, he could uncork it. But he said, man, I didn't want to be embarrassed by throwing it short.
Well, what people don't understand about this game, like, you can say that about Drew all you want to, but he's such an intelligent and smart quarterback. It didn't matter, where you was at. He was going to be able to get the ball to you just because his process, right, his way of deleting the defense and deleting things that he knows he's not going. So we had a lot of connection. If I'm not mistaken, it's still my longest touchdown in my career was with him. So, shout out to Drew, you know, like family, like a brother to me. And, obviously one of the greatest for a reason. So people can say what they want to say, but at the end of the day, look at the numbers. So.
Well, he always had great respect for you and still did. When we did the pickleball tournament, you know, we were talking about, you know, certain people maybe in free agency, and he was like, man, all I know is Brandon Cooks can play. He said, that's yeah. You can say I said it. He can still play. Charlie?
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, that's a connection that we have, right? And the belief that you have from a Hall of Famer like that, it's special. And, you don't take that lightly because you want to prove those guys right, right? You don't care about proving guys wrong. You want to prove the people that believe in you right. And that's what it's all about.
From one quarterback to the next, Brandon, I knew you had some very strong words about Derek Carr yesterday and kind of his leadership and veteran presence and, you know, his ability to still sling it, so to speak. And I want to get your thoughts on Derek. Have you spoken to him since you signed back in New Orleans? And then also,
yeah,
you know, your thoughts on him as a player, too.
Yeah, no, I've spoken with him. You know, we kind of keep in touch even before this. But like I said, my thoughts of him as a player, he can make any throw. He's obviously been playing in this league, you know, for a long time and doing it at a high level. Hopefully, you know, at the end of the day, it's all about, you know, coming here and staying healthy, and that's for all of us. And I think he's having a heck of an offseason right now, getting his body right, getting his mind right. And I just look forward to getting to work with him at the end of the day. We can say all this, but it's all about the work, right? And he knows I'm going to work. I know he's going to work, and I'm going to push him and vice versa. So I look forward to that, you know, coming a couple weeks or whatever in OTAs.
When we started advertising you'd be on, man, I stopped to go get gas. So guy comes walk up to me and he says, man, ask Brandon Cooks, what's the first time he heard the Archer? You know, that deal about being the Archer. So I'm going to ask you, who kind of gave you that pop of it? And because, man, people remember you with that move.
You know, honestly, I'm a man of faith. And so it's Psalm 144:6 is a scripture that I came across years ago, and it was violent. You know what I mean? Obviously we play a violent sport, and it just kind of resonated with me, and I kept it going. And that's my way to be able to give God glory. Obviously having this foundation, this platform, you know, we all have unique ways of doing it. And that's my way of doing it for sure.
When you, different fields have faster tracks, because I've heard that from so many different people. Man, listen, this particular stadium has a little faster track than another stadium. So compare
to the dome, got one, baby.
The dome, I was going to ask you, because the dome is one of them I've heard got a really fast track to it.
Yes, sir. And I'm not just saying that either. We even, you know, being there, leaving there, we, you know, guys, we all talk around the league like, man, what's a track that you can't wait to, you know, play on? It gives you some extra oomph. And the dome is definitely one. No question.
Playing with Drew Brees and Tom Brady, man, that's a gift, man. That you get to play with both of those guys. And so thought of the comparisons, the two, and I'm not saying negative things, but kind of, and how they approached the game, there was a lot of similarities because it was serious with both of them.
Oh, man, don't. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you talk about those guys playing against one each other. I can tell you this. They always knew, you know, what the other one was doing every week in and week out, because they're both so competitive, right? But their leadership, man, is they do it in different ways, but it's so contagious. And, man, it's just really they just – On that level, it's so similar. And, you know, I got different styles of play, but, you know, the best for a reason, both of them. I really will say that.
Brandon, as of right now, 57 players in NFL history have ever reached 10,000 career receiving yards. You're right at the precipice. I mean, now that 9,532, kind of what would that milestone mean to you if you can reach it this season with the black and gold?
You know, and, you know, that's one thing, obviously, right now. I ain't really reflecting on that. I can truly say that. But, obviously, when you bring it up, it'll be special in my mind. I kick myself sometimes because I should have been there. Obviously, things happen. You know, health happens. But I look forward to just getting back out there on the field, playing my game, and really letting the league see, like, my best ball being played. And I know that I'll take care of itself. And we're just going to keep pushing, man.
Brandon, last question for you. Your health, and do you train with somebody in particular in the off season?
Yeah, I've got my same trainer and PT that I've had over the last 9 years. And as far as player wise, you know, there's a couple of us that train together here and there for a while. Me and Cup trained probably for those 3 to 4 years together in the off season, living here in Oregon. But I'm always training with another player, whether they play currently or trying to play. I'm always having a handful of guys around just for that competition purpose.
Cup don't have to go too far now.
No.
Not after signing with Seattle.
You know, my dog back home. My dog back home. So, yeah.
Brandon, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon. Wishing you the best of luck. And I know, man, keep everybody healthy. You got to leave. Lethal threesome there. Now they got to get.
Oh yeah.
Now the running game always helps the receivers. I believe that. You get a running game going, man. That safety, he's got to come in that box to try to stop that run. You see a lot of single coverage downfield.
That's a dangerous thing to do. So we that's what we're gonna work, man. Coming in this off season, working together. Body work and whatnot, taking care of our bodies is going to definitely be at the pinnacle of me trying to, you know, teach these younger guys in their process and just go from there.
Thanks so much for joining us this afternoon, Brandon. Best of luck.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it. Look forward to spending time with y'all.
Thanks, Brandon.
Brandon Cooks, wide receiver with the New Orleans Saints. We'll be back with more Sports Talk here on the Big 870 right after this break. We're back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870. Mike Dettelier along with Charlie Long. Charlie, let me answer this text because I know he sent it yesterday. I think it's 8942 about Isaac Tesla, who is the wide receiver for University of Arkansas. And he was at Hillsdale College and he transferred. His production, you know, was pretty good at Arkansas. Now, he's a neophyte as far as a receiver. He is a big body guy. Now, he's almost 6'4", 215 pounds, can really run well. But you're going to have to do some work with him as a route runner. That is obvious. When he went to the Senior Bowl, you could see was not the most refined route runner. But in this draft class, that doesn't have a ton of big body receivers almost 6'4" receiver who ran, you know, because he's been timed under 4.4 in the 40-yard dash. I think he ran 4.43 or something at the combine. But he's a developmental guy. You're not expecting that he's going to come in here as a middle-round pick. I think is where he's going to go. And the gentleman brought up Besh. Besh will go before he does. One thing with Besh, man, can he run a route? Oh, my goodness. He gets into and out of that cut and that break so quick, doesn't lose any speed, got terrific hands. And my first comp for Beck, first time I saw him, I told this to Coach O. Man, you look at him, and he reminds you of an old-school receiver, of the way he can run a route. Today, the comp would be Puka Nacua.
Yep.
That's who he reminds you of, in that he's not the fastest, not the quickest. He just gets open, and he catches the ball. And maybe the best recruiting class, and I know we've talked about this before, LSU's ever had a receiver. In that one year, Brian Thomas Jr., Malik Nabers, Besh, Deion Smith didn't end up here, but he was in one of the top receivers in the country from Mississippi. But think about the careers, Malik Nabers, Brian Thomas, and now Besh.
And we'll see if Besh is the next up. I love the Puka comp, Mike. I love watching Besh play. Everything that touches his hands, it's like he's got glue attached to his fingers. He catches everything, it feels like. And, you know, talking about the wide receivers in this class, it's every single class is going to have, you know, some of these top guys, it feels like, every single year. The big body receivers, I kind of agree. If you're looking at, you know, Tet McMillan, he obviously stands out.
That's the one guy.
Yeah. Jaden Higgins from Iowa State's also got kind of got that big body frame. But outside of that, basically a majority of the top 10-ish receivers in this class aren't the tallest guys in the world. So we were just talking with Brandon Cooks. Obviously, he adds more speed element to that receiver room, but they are still missing the big physical possession receiver, so to speak. Tet is the one that's going to go in the first round. Jaden Higgins, though, from Iowa State, I've seen a little bit of
different opinions. I think he'll be a second-round pick.
I think so, too. But I've seen, you know, some people's, you know, in these mock drafts, you know, Mike, kind of getting him in the third round. I don't think he's going to fall out of the second round.
He ain't lasting that long.
I think he may even go kind of early second round, but he could potentially be there at pick 40 for you, you know, if you're really interested in getting that kind of big body
receiver. Noel's pretty damn good, too. He's a smaller guy from Iowa State.
Yeah, I get him.
He is super quick.
Royal confused. I don't know why. But, yeah, Noel's a different type of receiver, obviously.
Totally.
As you kind of mentioned there. But Higgins is probably that second guy on my radar if you're talking about big body receivers, if you don't go Tet McMillan in the first round.
Man, if Besh ends up with the Chiefs or the Eagles, they're going to have a lot of people tearing the enamel off their teeth. But it wouldn't shock me one bit. Let's go to our Oakland Hard Jewelers talking text line, Charlie. Let's go to James. James, you're in the huddle with Mike and Charlie.
Hey guys, I'm hoping that Cooks landing here again is sort of replacing Olave, because I don't think anybody. I mean, do you guys want to pay him next year? I mean, I don't think. I think he's soft as cotton, and I think the league. I think he would be on the market. He would be the best wide receiver or one of the best coming out. Out of this class.
Here's the thing, though, James. I would never want to deal him now, because if you're talking about getting the most bang for your buck, you got a guy coming off some concussion issues. You want him. If you were thinking of maybe trying to trade him somewhere down the line, your value now is going to be the least you ever going to get for Olave.
So, it's the Zion issue, Mike.
Yeah, and so my thing about it is hopefully he can stay healthy and be a productive receiver. I want to see, because I can't even kind of imagine exactly how they're going to use him in that Kellen Moore offense. He is going to be your lead receiver,
right,
Chris Olave. But how he's going to use Rashid Shaheed and Cooks, I think, will be intriguing, because kind of they both the same type of guys.
So the
just
thing,
one young, one a little, one older.
James brings up an interesting point about Olave, though. The receiver market is booming. Every single offseason, it feels like a new receiver is kind of breaking a record for the contract. Most recently, it was obviously Jamar becoming the highest paid non-quarterback in NFL history at $40.1 million average annual value. But, I mean, CeeDee Lamb had done it. Justin Jefferson had done it. Like, the top receivers are getting paid bank right now. And it's so funny that we're only a few years removed from the Titans, and they didn't want to pay A.J. Brown $20 million per year.
Yow.
Yeah, how about that, huh? The market kind of changes a little bit. But I guess my question to you, Mike, would be, you know, when his contract comes up and he's due for a big payday, what are you paying Chris Olave? Is he worth, like...
Well, I have a fifth-year option.
I know, but is he worth $30 million average annual value? That's kind of the top-of-the-line wide receiver market. I don't know if he is. And we just saw T. Higgins get paid a nice contract that was just under 30 average annual value, but he's also not a wide receiver one in that team, obviously, because of Jamar, and we'll see if it works out there.
Okay, who would you want on your roster, T. Higgins or Chris Olave?
I would take T.
Same here.
So if you're talking about Olave, I don't think he's going to reach that $30 million threshold. And even
I bet it's close if he's healthy.
Well, I don't – yes, it probably will be close, but would you pay him that?
I'm just telling you, that's going to be the market value. Because look at how this kind of, I guess you might say, mushroom cloud of money is going into the wide receiver market.
Yeah.
You're not going to get them at 24, 25.
Yeah.
It's going to be closer to 30. If he can stay healthy and have a big season, that's all I'm telling you. It's the market. Some people say, well, I wouldn't pay it. You might not, but somebody else will. That's the way this league works.
Yeah.
And he's not an older player. But again, coming off those concussion issues, I think right now would not be the smart thing to do to deal him. You would want to see him back out on that field. And for any team, they would want the exact same thing. I'm not giving you up a ton for a receiver that, you know, he fought some major concussion issues last year. Not once, twice.
I know I'm kind of playing both sides of the coin here because I'm saying I wouldn't pay him $30 million average annual value. But at the same time, you see some of the trade offers, like, on Twitter and stuff like that. Like, oh,
yeah, who's making all that up?
Well, like, some reporter in Houston's just like, oh, here's what the Texans could trade for Chris Olave because they have a big need at receiver. And I think he would actually fit great in Houston with Nico Collins as wide receiver one and him as wide receiver two. But they're like, oh, a second round pick and then like a pick swap day four or fourth round pick swap or something like that. Like, I don't know if that really gets it done for someone like Chris Olave.
The market will not go down on receivers.
No, it won't. It's only going up.
And so I think that goes to show you, a lot of people ask us about Michael Thomas. Why isn't he with a team? That goes to show you what the league thinks of Michael Thomas. If he's not on an NFL team today, look what they're paying receivers today. And Michael Thomas in his prime, man, just maybe got born a little bit too early.
Like, but three, man, or
you
four
just
years
look
too
at that,
early.
That 4 or 5 year run was unbelievable. The numbers he put up in that offense of the Saints. But then once injuries start to hit, worst thing in the world for an athlete. You start to get injured, and then, people say, I'm not going to pay it. Not going to pay it. And he got kind of loud. And I think that's the other part. These teams in the NFL, they all kind of talk to one another, know exactly kind of what's happening behind the scenes. We'll be back here on Sports Talk and finish up hour number one right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL. Mike DeTille along with Charlie Long. Charlie, one of the texters wrote me, Mike, if only Don Hutson played today, boy, he'd be rolling in some serious dough. Man, my grandpa would talk to me about Don Hutson.
Oh, yeah.
He was the Alabama Antelope. He played with the Packers in the 30s and 40s. And so, no, I didn't get to see Don Hutson play. But you talk about a guy who tilt the field back then. He'd be getting that Justin Jefferson, Jamar Chase money. He was that good of a player. And back then, it was two platoon. So Hutson not only was your starting receiver, he was your starting safety. And he also was the kicker for the Green Bay Packers. He played for Curly Lambeau.
Yeah.
Lambeau Field.
Yeah, yeah.
Named after Curly. That's who Don Hutson played for. But University of Alabama player and just a great player of that era. So, yeah, he'd be getting that Jamar Chase, Justin Jefferson money if he was playing today.
Every single offseason we say it, though, Mike, the wide receiver market's booming. We have someone, 5143, that agrees with me that you would not pay Olave $30 million average annual value. It's just not worth it, that he would look to draft a receiver. I'm kind of in that boat too, Mike. I'm looking kind of towards the future, start to build that receiver room post-Olave.
We'll be back with more sports talk here on the Big 870 right after this news break.